is really hard, you know? How would you meet someone and later on you realize that they're not necessarily the person that you thought you were meeting?
Yeah, he was dressed as a zombie Steve Jobs. Did you realize he wasn't actually a zombie Steve Jobs? And that's what upset you? We bend your ear. Stories about us.
Stories about you.
Huck Finn, Peter Rabbit. This is Earbender.
Oh, yeah. Earbender.
I'm your host, Alexi. Hey! Hi. Welcome to Earbender.
Hello.
Get ready for the Halloween edition.
Ooh, spooky Halloween.
Let's talk about hooking up on Halloween parties with people in masks or full makeup. Do you call them the next day?
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about the most famous magician ever, Harry Houdini, and how he was almost a scientist trying to debunk mediums and spiritualists and ghost stuff, and how people do seances for his ghost till today, and it's all around Halloween.
I'm ready for it.
It's a lot. Oh, and how all the recordings of the people in the 20s can't help but talk like they're giving the Gettysburg Address. Like, come one, come all to this death-defying trick. It's just constant.
Old-timey.
But now, without further ado, the greatest magician that I know, and her greatest trick is being organized, thoughtful, and punctual.
Aww.
Your friend, my wife, the great Bobina!
Thank you! Thanks for having me. I'm bowing to the audience.
Bob.
Thank you. Yes?
One of your friends had the audacity to say that we're doing our Halloween Earbender too early.
Yeah, we got called out. Got called out on it. But you know what?
What?
The leaves are already changing.
They sure are.
We finally went from 98 degrees 2 weekends ago to like a solid 70s.
R.I.P. Nick Lachey.
R.I.P. And then I have been going full throttle into all the pumpkin spice everything.
Oh my goodness.
Did I tell you that I had the Wendy's pumpkin spice frosty? I did.
I didn't know it existed.
I
thought it was just a myth.
I was driving past
it. I thought it was just a legend.
I saw this sign and I was like, screer. U-turn.
Let's be very clear. For whatever reason, if something is over $200, we usually talk to each other about it, whether we're going to purchase that.
Yep.
But you called me before you bought this shake.
I need you to know it was out there. I genuinely wanted to know if you wanted me to wait for you.
Oh.
Like if you wanted one,
I thought you wanted like permission of some kind. Like,
no,
hey,
I was totally going to do it no matter what. Let me tell you, my honest review.
Okay.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Tasted exactly like a Yankee Candle smells.
Wow. You know, we're kind of getting into that kind of manufactured flavor.
Yeah.
Because there's pumpkin flavor.
Totally.
And there's pumpkin spice flavor. So the spices of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But the pumpkin flavor is kind of cool. It's that squashy kind of fun flavor. It's dark, but it's still squashy. Go.
And usually doesn't skew nearly as sweet as the pumpkin spice flavor tends to be.
Sure. But then even sweeter than that is that manufactured, you have pumpkin syrup that tastes like candy corn.
It does.
And then you just said that you had a frosty that tastes like a Yankee candle.
The high quality, top tier candle.
But no one wants to eat a candle, though.
No, they don't.
They do. She sits next to me on a podcast. Halloween stuff has been at Costco since July, and Christmas is almost over, and your friend is telling us that we're early? St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner.
I can't wrap my head around time anymore.
Bob, do you want to see what the algorithm spookily brought us?
Ooh, let's do it. That sounded like Dracula. That's not what I was going for.
Since robots choose what I see, let's see what the algorithm brought me.
This is Let's See What the Algorithm Brought Me. It's the part of our show where we spin a fake wheel and talk about anything from movies to YouTubes, from TikToks to music to Instagram ads.
Yeah,
spin the wheel, Bob. Spooky pookie.
Spooky pookie, 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 spooky, 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 pookie. That was outrageous. Second date, update, Halloween edition.
So just a little explainer, because a couple audience folks have kind of written in that they aren't sure of the concept of what we're doing.
Oh.
We are reenacting a real relationship on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is a 100% real radio show rendition of what's going on. Are they telling the truth? I sure as heck hope so.
We're acting, but we're just recreating what's already been said by other human beings.
1,000%. This is a show for someone that had a good first date, but no second date. So the radio show reaches out on their behalf to see what went wrong.
Brooke and Jubal, second date update. It's Halloween season, of course. Halloween parties are one of the favorite places to try to hook up with a sexy ghoul or a sexy goblin or a sexy toaster, whatever anybody has dressed up to be like and made it sexy. You always want to hook up with it. And we decided to get a hold of Thomas because Thomas wants to call a girl today that he met at a Halloween party, and now she's not calling him back. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm okay.
Thomas, isn't it like an unwritten rule about Halloween hookups that they just stay there? Like, there's never a real relationship that comes out of these things.
I don't think so. I think you could find love at a Halloween party. I mean, it's a social gathering.
You are a hopeless romantic, sir. Find love anywhere if you know how to look for it. And apparently you do, Thomas. So who's the girl that you want us to call today? What's her name?
Alexa.
Alexa. All right. How did you meet Alexa?
A friend of mine has this huge Halloween party. There's a ton of people there, but there's this one chick in particular, the girl Alexa. I didn't know her, but she was dressed as a witch. Not as a sexy witch, but not a horrifying witch, which is just great.
She was a normal witch.
Yeah, normal witch. Yeah.
Did you approach her immediately at the party, or did you wait a while before you made your move?
I kind of watched her from a distance for a while.
Okay, all right. And then when did you let her know that you had been watching her?
Well, that's going to sound bad. I just couldn't figure out a way to get up and talk to her. I kept waiting for her to talk to someone that I knew so I could integrate myself into conversation, you
right.
know? But she was talking with circles of people that I didn't know. So I decided I was going to try to scare her.
It's a good move, because frightening a woman is a great way to meet them.
At a Halloween party, that's perfectly acceptable. It's just like what women like in horror movies. Because, you know, like the fear reflex also turns you on a little bit.
So you're hoping to scare the connection into her.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
And did it work for you?
Well, here's the problem. She was carrying around part of her costume. She had this cauldron with her. It had like smoke billowing out of the cauldron. I saw her at one point start to head down the hallway toward the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And so I ran through the kitchen. It was just another entryway into the hallway. So I hid behind the door frame and she passed by and I just jumped out and said, bah!
Wait, what did she do? Did she drop her cauldron?
She dropped the cauldron.
Oh, no. Did it break?
The cauldron, it didn't break, but it spilled, you know?
Yeah. I'm guessing it was dry ice, you know, if there was smoke.
It was dry ice. Well, everyone at the party all remember about dry ice when you're in fifth grade science class, so no one wanted to touch it. I was just freaking out, dancing around it.
How did she take the prank? I mean, did she like it or was she angry?
So immediately I apologized to her. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. I was just trying to freak you out. I was looking for a reason to talk to you because I think you're the cutest witch I've ever seen.
Aw, that's sweet.
I guess I made the wrong choice. I'm sorry to scare you. Let me get you a drink. And she said that would be great. Thanks.
Can I ask? I never ask. What were you dressed as this whole time? I need the full picture here.
I was dressed as a zombie Steve Jobs.
Nice choice.
A black turtleneck on, black pants, a big hole in my side, like a rib sticking out. and one of my eyes was kind of bulging. I have a friend that does makeup, so he made me look pretty gruesome.
All right, so pretty good. Like a horribly decomposed Steve Jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Every woman wants that.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming as soon as she saw your costume, she was already on board.
Well, I don't know if she had a fetish for zombies or not, or it's just really The Walking Dead, but she seemed pretty into it.
And how was the conversation between you two?
Yeah, it was great. We were just chatting about all kinds of stuff. The music was pretty good. We danced for a little bit. So.
Okay.
And then by the end of the night, we started to make out a little bit. She had to take off her witch nose so I could get to her mouth.
And you were thankful that that was actually a fake nose.
In my inebriation, there was a moment like, man, I hope that's a fake nose. I hope it comes off okay.
You guys obviously liked each other. I mean, she made out with you and everything else. But have you talked since the party?
Well, she hasn't returned any of my texts. I texted her the day after and got nothing. Then texted her again the next day, still nothing. I texted her later on that day, which I felt kind of weird about. I hate playing these text games with girls. And now it's been a few days and I'm kind of wondering, okay, are you having second thoughts? Are you pissed off about the dry ice? Did you find a burn on your ankle? Are you mad at me?
All right, so you really have no idea why she wouldn't want to talk to you.
No!
But I appreciate a man who overanalyzes just like a woman.
Oh my gosh, yeah, so much.
Right. Well, we'll help you out then. I'll dial her, then see if we get her on the phone and find out, okay?
Okay. Hey, Alexa, how are you?
Hello?
Hi, can I speak to Alexa, please?
Hi, yes, this is she.
All right. Well, I'm calling you because you recently met one of our listeners and he's been trying to get a hold of you, but you're not calling him back. So he asked us to get you on the phone to reconnect.
Really? That's really weird. Who is it?
Well, his name is Thomas. Do you remember Thomas?
I know one Thomas, a coworker, and I don't think that that's him.
He could have been your coworker. I have no idea. It's the guy you met at the Halloween party.
Oh, that Thomas.
Yeah, that one. The Thomas Steve Jobs zombie.
Right.
Well, Thomas emailed us because he said that you guys hung out at the party, really enjoyed spending time with you, and he told you to text him after and you guys could go on a date, but apparently he's tried and you're not responding to him. So we thought maybe we could get you on the phone to find out why.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, what a bummer.
What a bummer.
I mean, you know, it's just a bummer. It's unfortunate.
What's unfortunate?
You know, sometimes it's just, this is really hard, you know? How would you meet someone and later on you realize that they're not necessarily the person that you thought you were meeting?
Yeah, he was dressed as a zombie Steve Jobs. Did you realize he wasn't actually a zombie Steve Jobs? And that's what upset you?
I guess in a weird way, you're right.
So I'm right. You're upset that he wasn't a zombie Steve Jobs.
Well, you know, I thought the costume was really cool. I love Steve Jobs. And, you know, he had a black turtleneck. His makeup was really cool. And after I met him, I went on Facebook and I checked him out and... Yeah.
Okay, you're not attracted to him, are you?
No. I obviously had a bad case of costume goggles.
Costume goggles? And I've heard the term beer goggles. I've never heard of the term costume goggles.
Yeah, you know, as soon as I saw him without the makeup, without the blood, he just looks kind of like a different person.
He looks better without blood?
I saw his picture on Facebook without the makeup on, and it's just not what I expected.
So in other words, he's more attractive to you with a bunch of zombie makeup. But I mean, maybe he's just not very photogenic. Like, wouldn't you want to see him in person?
You know, I don't want to risk that awkward meeting of seeing him in person and it still being a disappointment.
You know what else is awkward, Alexa? He's actually on the other line listening. He wants to talk to you.
Oh my goodness.
What am I supposed to say to this?
Oh God. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
You're just more attracted to me when I have an eyeball hanging out of my head.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I know it sounds weird to say, but I just found you more attractive as the zombie guy.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. You were attracted enough to make out with me and dance and chat for like 3 hours. But once you looked at pictures of me without zombie makeup on, you were less attracted to me.
I went on to Facebook expecting one thing, and then it turns out that that's not what I thought it was gonna be.
I mean, I don't think I'm a bad looking guy. Am I really that unattractive?
No, you're not bad looking. You're just not my type. And I just thought that you looked better as a zombie. So think about it like this. Say that I made out with Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I find out that it was Johnny Depp.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with Johnny Depp. I'm just not into Johnny Depp.
That's a pretty good analogy. You're still Johnny Depp, Thomas.
Yeah, a lot of people like Johnny Depp, but I'm just more into Orlando Bloom.
I guess I see what you're saying. It makes sense, you know, in a weird way, but it's like if I made out with Megan Fox, and then the next day I was like, oh no, it's Scarlett Johansson. Maybe you're more into Megan Fox, but I'm still going to be like, oh hell, I'd make out with Scarlett Johansson some more.
Thomas don't care. There you go. Alexa using your own logic against you. Somehow I'm really confused.
What pictures were you looking at on Facebook?
Your profile pic?
I never even found your last name, so I couldn't go and properly stalk you. I don't know if maybe your pictures aren't so good either.
That is a good point. You haven't seen her without her witch makeup on. I mean, she took her nose off and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed talking to you and I thought we were really getting along. And you even at one point stopped and said, you're a really good kisser.
Look, you know, there was a lot of alcohol involved that night as well. So, you know, I can't remember that.
Brutal. How would you feel, Alexa, if the tables were turned on you right now?
Yeah, well, I would be understanding. Everyone has their preferences. You know, not everybody's going to find me attractive.
I call BS on that. I'll tell you what. You go out with me again. I'll just wear an eyeball and we'll slowly transition to regular mate. How about that?
Thinking outside the box. It's a good idea, Thomas. Alexa, would you like to go out with Thomas again or for a first time, really? Because you just met at a party and didn't have an actual date. Would you like a date with Thomas? We'll pay for it.
Come on, Alexa. This is your chance to prove you're not so shallow.
Will you send me the other pictures and then I can decide? Do you even still want to go out with her at this point?
You know what? I want to prove a point to her.
It's less about the actual date and more about just proving that you're still good looking without zombie makeup on.
Yes! I want to show her that I can be attractive without looking like a dead person.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you guys will go out then.
Oh, wow. So you guys will go out then. Alexa, if he sends you pictures, you approve?
Yeah, I guess I can do that.
All right. Well, congratulations, Thomas. You got yourself a second date.
Thanks. Depends on the photos, I guess. Alexa, get ready because I'm going to send you some real good shots.
Oh, no. I'm so nervous about that. What? I don't know if I like the sound of that.
Nothing dirty.
Be on the lookout. Papa's about to send some really good shots to your inbox. Oh, my mercy.
I keep on going back and forth with this. Uh-huh. New love always wants to play this game of fighting for love, fighting for people.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I am on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, where is the fight worth it? Maybe at the first beginning parts of it, just making it through the membrane of somebody, just to get them on your radar.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's worth it to make yourself look a little stupid, put yourself out there, compromise through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a point, the other person is just a horrible person.
Yeah, Alexa doesn't sound great. She is not coming across well in this conversation. So there's a part of me that's like, Thomas, throw in the towel,
sure,
bro.
Like, yeah.
But it also sounds like it took a lot out of him to even make that first step.
Absolutely.
And then when he had what felt like a level of success, he's going to do everything to maintain it.
Oh my goodness, of course.
Yeah.
And just so we're clear, she doesn't sound great for a second date. She
right.
sounds like a fine human being.
Sure.
Hookups at the Halloween party.
Yeah.
That is how you do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to call them again.
I'll see you in another 11 and a half months,
You
Alexa.
Have a sheet over your face and you're like kissing somebody and you expect like, this is going really well. I'm going to have a second date coming up. That is unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
And to your point, yeah, now he's got a little glimpse of a girl that he likes and he's trying to maintain any of that by throwing back in her face, remember you said you liked me for 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Remember for that blink of an eye night, you said all these things that I thought we were going to get married.
Yeah, and being drunk at parties, that's a good time. It's a very it's a very easy way for everyone to make those first steps. But assuming that like we're going to start our lives together based off of that,
yeah.
Like,
oh,
that's,
my goodness.
That's faulty logic.
And I guess this has happened to me too many times.
Uh-huh.
It's usually New Year's.
Oh,
it's a New Year's party
yeah.
where you are kissing people.
Yeah.
And then I go for the number and they're willing to give it to me almost to get out of the situation with me.
Oh, no.
Because they're like, that was fun. Oh, this is a relationship? It was one kiss. I'm like, can I have your number? I'm going to call right now to make sure it goes through.
You're like, New Year's parties are the right. Las Vegas right. of drinking holidays. What happens there stays there.
And, you know, from Thomas's voice, he doesn't sound 20. I think Thomas has been around the block a couple times. She should see this from a mile away.
I mean, not that young people don't know who Steve Jobs is, but that's an excellent point. Like, that's not particularly niche, but I don't think there is a...
What is niche is zombie Steve Jobs is what you're attracted to.
That's awesome. I feel bad that Alexa's turning out to be shallow because he might be right. This might be his soulmate.
You ready for a story, Bob?
Tell me a story.
No guts, no glory. Gonna tell us a story. This is a Halloween Houdini story that's just like silly and fun. But okay, if you have any reservations on how good Houdini is at being a magician, The Hungarian-American escape artist, illusionist, and stunt performer noted for his escape acts, here's a quick story that crushes any skeptics.
Oh,
I love this. I love this. This is very fun. How good is Houdini? Here's a little proof on that.
Okay.
In September 1900, Houdini was summoned by the German police prior to his first performance in the country, who suspected his act was fake. I can't tell if these cops in Germany were super smart or super dumb. A fake magician? Like,
why would they even intervene with that?
Right. This idea comes up all the time where people are still having a back and forth about magic at this point in the, you know, turn of the century.
Sure, fair enough.
So in Berlin, he had stripped naked and was forced to perform an escape routine in front of 300 police officers.
Scandalous. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, take off all your clothes. That's how all Germans sound.
Your German accent is amazing.
I know what you're thinking. It sounds like it's an over-the-top stunt. Like, he's going to use this or whatever for later. But, like, it doesn't feel that way. Houdini was tightly restrained with thumb screws, finger locks, and 5 different hand and elbow irons. He was able to escape in 6 minutes. After he did the stunt, he used it for advertising. Like, of course he did.
I was going to say, the skeptic in me believes it to have been advertising stunt from the beginning. That he's just, like, egging the police on.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. But then, subsequently, 1901, a newspaper in Cologne accused him of attempting to bribe a police officer in order to rig an escape attempt and paying a civilian police employee to aid him with another performance. So Houdini sues the newspaper and sues the police officer for slander. As part of the trial, Houdini was asked to open, without the aid of tools, one of the police officer's handcrafted locks, which the officer had said that Houdini had tried to bribe him for, blah, blah, blah. Houdini was able to do so, won the case. So, like, these are two situations where he's in front of everybody's and they're all like asking him to perform for him, essentially. Right. The judge is like, well, if you think you could do it, you know.
I was busy the night of the show and I couldn't make it. So let's have a trial and I can watch it.
Judge Judy's going to have us in here.
I love the idea that, like, what Houdini is doing is impressive. Do not misunderstand me, but it's not inherently magic to me.
Right? Sure.
It's literally just escapism.
Totally. There's a bunch of magicians that do stuff like that.
That's
like,
true.
How about the ones that play with your mind? A lot of times they're using mathematics, you know?
Sure. Sleight of hand. His physicality is...
Yeah.
Amazing.
And you know what? He's a really good marketer.
He's always
talking like this in every recording.
Is he?
Oh my goodness.
Is he a hottie? I don't know if I've ever seen a picture of him. I've seen
He's got the butt comb haircut.
Oh. I guess I've only seen posters of him. They weren't photographs. They were a likeness of his image. But...
Right. And that's all you're going to see for the most part. And all the stuff that I saw was... Okay, I'll explain later. Who's the gangster in Chicago? Al Capone. He looks like Al Capone, one of Al Capone's thugs.
Oh.
That's what he looks like.
That's not clocking as a hottie.
Okay, not a hottie. Got it. This particular instance, the Halloween case with Houdini, is Houdini tried to debunk mediums and spiritualists that said they had contact with the dead. He always wanted to do that, which is so funny how somebody that's sleight of hand is trying to put to bed all sorts of other frauds. You know, that doesn't make any sense in one way. Upper class people are using Ouija boards like crazy in the 20s. They're all getting into it. They've been around forever, but when the rich people do it, it starts becoming a trend.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this like in history class or something like that, that it was like
people are doing seances all over the time.
Crazy, intensely popular to the point that there were like cult-like followings for people who speak to the dead, and spiritualism became its own arm of religion in a way.
Yeah, totally. Also, what they're talking about is, yes, it's entertainment, but people really wanted their dead to come back because World War One just happened. The Spanish flu just happened.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, where's our peeps?
That totally makes sense.
Let's have a dinner party and then let's get back together with
eight. Grifters are like, you know what? Let's take these rich, sad people's money.
Right, because at first I think they were just doing it on their own, but you're right. Yeah, they were getting an independent contractor to come in.
A spiritual escort.
So Houdini's an illusionist that thinks he could expose frauds better than anyone else. So he goes after the biggest one, and it's Mina Crandon.
Okay.
And her name's Marjorie, the most famous medium of the 20th century.
Wow, he just big leagues right off the bat.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. She was up for a Scientific American Prize.
Whoa.
And there had to be a bunch of scientists to find out if she was legit or not. Okay. And so they brought in a bunch of scientists and Houdini.
That's the equivalent of like working on the cure for cancer and then like your weird cousin who's just like really, really into it.
So we're going to bring in Jim Carrey. Is that cool, guys? All righty then. He goes in there with everybody. He debunks it instantly. She's using her feet to ring the bell, using her knee and her head to pick up the table. Scientists were like, or maybe it is real. I don't know, Houdini.
Oh, no.
Right. Exactly. Okay. She didn't win it. That's perfectly fine. But that was like,
you know, it actually, in hindsight, whether anyone thought that Houdini was going to be useful or not, like just knowing the physicality that's required for what he does, he probably could pick up on the physicality of what she was doing.
There you go. Now you're thinking like a scientist.
In a way that the scientists probably were just like, no, it did feel a little colder in there. Okay.
So in 1924, she didn't win. Marjorie's an interesting lady. She's exactly what you're talking about. She was doing it for fun for a while. And then she got into it and she got really good at it. Mm. And then all of a sudden, she would keep on bringing people back from the dead and she would spew ectoplasm when she did it. And it wouldn't just come out of her mouth, but her nose and her ears. You can see pictures of this online.
Oh, wow.
All over the place. And she's so calm about it.
Dedicated.
She's just, you know, it just kind of comes out.
I like the feminist aspect that ladies can be frauds too.
Oh, yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. So she wouldn't take any kind of compensation to make sure that she's legit for these like big ones that she did. You know what I mean? And she would bring back the same dead people a whole lot. She'd bring back her brother Walter quite often.
Oh, well,
makes sense. Sure. So her dead brother Walter made this statement because she's getting really upset at Houdini right now.
Oh, I bet.
Right? Because he is making it part of his act that he's like, I debunked her. That's not real. I'm real. I'm the good stuff. She's not really that great.
Ooh, trash talking.
She brings back her dead brother for the umpteenth time. And the dead brother says, Houdini's gonna die on Halloween.
Walter.
I know. Statement.
How would a spirit even know that?
Oh, right. You have all access.
We cross the other side and we just get like this like Rolodex of info.
Right. What's gonna happen in 50 years? Goodness gracious.
Okay, so bold statement by dead brother Walter.
Fast forward to 1926. Mm-hmm. Houdini rolls his ankle and he's like, he still did a show anyway. And afterwards, some of the students came back and said, can I really punch you in the stomach and it won't hurt you? Because that's another thing that he does. Do you know that?
No.
And so you know, he would like just like flex his abdominal muscles and they would punch him and he'd be like, ha ha. But his like ankles were hurting. And so he was laying down and he goes, yeah, punch me in the stomach. He's 52 years old. And the college kid doesn't hit him once. He hits him like a bunch of times in the stomach.
Oh, right. Okay. And then his spleen explodes.
Gordon Whitehead. Right, exactly. And he does it unexpectedly, so he doesn't even realize he's going to get punched because he's having a cappuccino prepped. Laying down, whatever he's doing, you know?
Oh, jeez.
And afterwards, he's kind of hurting. He goes to the doctor. Uh-huh. The doctor says, hey, you might have appendicitis. He's like, I have a gig. He goes, you have a fever of 104 degrees. He goes, I have a gig. I have to go. And so he goes and does the gig, and he dies that night on Halloween 1926.
And the college student goes to jail for involuntary manslaughter.
The college student, Gordon Whitehead, was with a couple other guys, and they go on the books for saying, like, oh, yeah, that's exactly how he died. That's exactly what happened. He was punched by this one guy, and this is how it all went down. We're going to save that to the end.
Okay.
So he dies, and his wife is instructed in the will, her name's Bess, to hold a seance for him. And he gave her a code that if he says the code, that means he's really from the dead. So in this weird way, he's still kind of a skeptic.
I was going to say it's...
Or not a skeptic. He's still kind of open to it.
Right. Like, he's like, this is my one last chance to truly debunk this or not.
Right? Is that cool?
That's so funny.
The code is, they had a favorite song called Rosabelle.
Uh-huh.
And so Rosabelle Believe is what someone would have to say.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww,
she has a seance every year. Every single year.
Aww,
on Halloween.
Just in case.
Just in case. It's not happening.
Do you think Houdini's on the other side? Like, I can't possibly let anyone know that this is legit. So I'm just going to sit here silently every Halloween.
You think that ghosts still hold grudges?
Yeah. Isn't that what, like, tethers them to the in-between of life and death?
Oh, yeah, okay.
The unfinished business grudge holding.
Absolutely.
If he was just like, Bess, I was wrong, it's legit, then he could cross to the other side or whatever.
I should have thought Patrick Swayze right away, and I didn't. Thank you. Thank you so much. So it's year 10 for the seance.
Bless her. She just keeps going.
Bless Bess.
Bless Bess.
She does it on top of the Knickerbocker Hotel in LA. She gets tickets. She's making money off of this. She's doing a whole thing.
Was she the mastermind behind some of his marketing to begin with?
Who knows?
She's a hustler, baby. She's running out of that sweet, sweet Houdini money.
Right. 10 years. Man. I don't know how much I could last off of this. He was in movies. Like, he's got some money.
Was he really?
Yeah. But she's got like a red light glowing. And she has his song that he always plays at every single one of his shows. You want to know what it is?
What?
Pomp and Circumstance.
When did that become the graduation song?
Right, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh,
it was like, if Houdini likes it, maybe we should do it for our college.
Either that or he heard it at college and was like, this is the stuff.
That's the one. Everyone knows it. It's accessible. It's got a beat.
That's
you can dance to it.
Is. That with like a creepy red light. Yeah, that's some ambiance right there.
Totally. It doesn't work out. She's done with it. She never does it again after that. My last hope is gone. Like, this is how they all talk. I just heard the recording. It's everyone's the same. Everyone's saying these giant soliloquies. My last hope is gone. I do not believe that Houdini can come back or to anyone. I do not believe the ghosts or spirits exist. The Houdini shrine burned for 10 years. I know reverently. Turn out the light. Good night, Harry. She's pretty much telling everybody that, like, that mediums aren't real. This thing isn't real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got
she's
it, got
pushing
it.
That for him. That's his legacy that she's pushing,
oh,
I think.
Oh,
you know?
Interesting.
She's still, like, running that.
P.S., I just want to interject real quick. Like, I believe that the accent that you're hearing is called transatlantic.
Absolutely.
And it was very, very popular in, like, movies and stuff.
Totally.
And Katharine Hepburn is probably one of the, biggest.
Without a doubt.
You did it. That was a pretty good Katharine Hepburn impression you just did.
Now they do like seances all the time. They do it in Chicago every year.
Just anybody?
But yeah, always on Halloween, always for Houdini.
If I was Houdini, I would be so pissed off.
Right. I don't know. He's just taking that grudge to the grave. I love that. I love that so much.
Why does everybody keep trying? Like, of all people, he was like, this is baloney.
Right. So that's the story.
Okay.
Oh, happy Halloween, everyone.
Spooky.
My little, like, side-off take on this is that, like, Bess got insurance money after he passed.
Oh, she didn't need to be holding money-making seances.
Right, right. Well, he's got money coming out of the wazoo.
She's savvy.
So it was a double indemnity. Okay. And how you get one of those is you have to make sure it looks like an accident. So he had to get punched in the stomach. And then he had to have other college kids around to witness it and come back and say, oh, yeah, that's how it happened.
Are you implying that Bess got a group of surly college kids to wail on her husband and kill him for the insurance money?
No, I think he was dying already.
Oh.
And so you just have someone come in and pop a one. And then he still does his show. He dies sooner or later. You know, appendicitis. That's good enough.
Good enough, yeah.
Oh, Marjorie, the housewife turned medium.
Okay.
You know,
uh-huh.
How she found her husband, that she's married to this one guy.
Okay.
No, she gets appendicitis. And the doctor that's treating her,
uh-huh.
She marries him instead. She divorces her other guy, marries him. You could say oh, I'm coming down with appendicitis. In the 20s, you could do that. Is that crazy?
That one's a stretch, but but I hear it. I hear it.
Before we get to the pop quiz question, Bob, please go to my Patreon page, The Cookie Crew.
Cookie Crew!
For extras on this podcast and many others, and sneak peeks into my music, Alexi Music, AlexiMuzic. I got a new song coming out September 22nd, buddy.
I am so stoked. There's a date.
There's a
date. September 22nd.
That's right. Sign up for my email list so we can chat. I love your recommendations for jingles and songs and what to watch next. And if you want to hear me sing live, I'm on TikTok 5 times a week, baby. Yeah, pop on by. You ready for your pop quiz question?
Pop. I am. Hit me.
All right.
Is it spooky?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I asked ChatGPT for a spooky question.
That's very spooky already.
And they had
horrified.
A bunch of stupid ones.
Oh.
But you could ask them for as many as you want.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So if you ask for one, you can say, can you give me like 20 more and do better? Don't want to be too mean.
Does
you know?
A robot know what fear is?
They'll just do better.
Do you?
Would you rather have a never-ending supply of your favorite Halloween candy or be able to attend the most famous and exclusive Halloween party event in the world?
Party.
I thought this would be like one of the hardest questions for you ever. Limitless supply of candy. This event only happens once, Bob.
Okay. Per usual, I have some clarifying questions. For the candy, is the candy just one kind of candy or is it just Halloween candy in general?
Anything that could be constituted as Halloween candy. So Godiva chocolate isn't making it in there, but you're getting a variety of candies.
Oh.
You're getting all the things.
Oh.
But we're not going...
It's not just... It's fun size Snickers.
It's fun size everything, baby.
Oh, oof.
Or the greatest Halloween party extravaganza event the world has ever seen.
Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I really like costumes and getting dressed up.
Just saying, we're on FOMO double style right now. Like, you can't win in a way.
No.
Okay, sorry. You like getting dressed up.
We have gone to parties in costumes that are not costume parties. We have a great deal of costumes.
We have these friends that we always go over to their house. Or, and there was a consecutive span of years that we would go over in matching costumes.
Yeah.
We asked them the first time, we should all do a theme night.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
No.
We just came.
We were the only ones dressed up for the theme.
And now we just don't tell them and we go as a theme.
We just come in our costumes.
We've gone as pirates.
Yeah.
We got Hawaiian.
We went Secret Service.
We went Secret Service.
I like those ones.
Yeah. And the one that we wanted them to be a part of was, it was so easy. It wasn't even like something specific like pirates. It was just dark.
Dark, yeah.
It was like goth.
Yeah.
But not goth. We weren't going that hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was the saddest day of the year.
Right. January 24th.
January 24th.
As everyone knows, the saddest day of the year because it's the day that people break up the most.
Yeah.
Because it's far enough away from Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your bill comes in for Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
And it's one of the darkest days in the year that there's the sun isn't up that much.
Yeah. And here in Chicago, you get like 4 hours of sunlight.
Right.
So we came like to the nines.
We're ready to go.
Goth. Like, yeah. We did the makeup. Chokers. All black.
Sure.
Everything. And they didn't.
That's
so
fine.
So now, as our passive aggressive punishment, we come in costume all the time. So all of that to say,
sure.
A costume party where everyone else is dressed up sounds divine.
This sounds, because I know you want to go to the Met Gala, like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. It's probably not as much fun as I think it is, but
the Met Gala. Yeah, yeah. But this is going to be 10 times that.
Oh, the Halloween party.
Best Halloween party ever. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that. And they're going to have Halloween candy at the party. I know it's just once, but I can definitely like eat my body weight in Halloween candy at the greatest Halloween party ever.
Well, we figured that one out.
I'll just, whatever my costume is, it's going to have lots and lots of pockets.
Bob, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having
on
me.
What?
On Earbender.
Spooky.
Spooky Earbender.